Blog Talk Radio.
For Saturday, August 18th, 2018, you're listening to the livecast. And when it's on Saturdays with me, a.k.a. The Deep Dive with Rich Fan, I am, of course, Rich Fan, here to chat with you about the weekend to come, most notably NXT TakeOver and, of course, the Survivor Series of the Summer, SummerSlam. And if you want to chat with us, please feel free to join in. Area code 515-605-9345. That's 515-605-9345. I'm looking forward to this today because I'm having one of my good friends, Justin McClelland, on to chat with me about the news and notes of the weekend. And, of course, it's going to be a good time because when last we met, Justin regaled us with tales of wrestling filmographies past, most notably WWE Network. And so without further ado, let me bring on my good friend, Justin. Justin, welcome back to the Deep Dive.
Thanks, Rich. It definitely is the Survivor Series of August.
That is definitely my Michael Scott of the podcast, and hopefully that's the last one I have, but the night is young. So
it's true. It's also the biggest party of the summer.
The biggest party. I could have said Summerfest, but I didn't want to go that far.
Oh, you didn't. You didn't pull a pivot.
I did. If I pulled a pivot, that's... that's definitely a dangerous thing. I gotta, you know, lay down for 8 hours.
Now, then. Yeah.
Ooh, good call. Good call.
Yeah.
So, Justin, I know in your tweets you mentioned your excitement for one match in particular. So, why don't we start with that match and why you're so excited for it at SummerSlam?
Well, we do have 13 matches, so that gives us about 4 minutes per match. So, should be a good filling, good time. No, I did tweet about, guys, I have a lot to say about the possible opener, Lana and Rusev against Aiden English and, oh my God, I blew it. I pulled it, Michael Scott. Now, Lana and Rusev against, Andrade Cien Almas and Zelina Vega. I guess where to start? Okay. I'm sort of frustrated by this because I think we all know it's probably going to be the catalyst for the breakup of the great Rusev-Lana-English triumvirate. They've certainly been hinting that way for a while, and I think, in my mind, it's pointless and way too – and at the very least, way too soon to be breaking these guys up. English is dead in the water as soon as they pull the trigger. And I just – think they're a fun act. I'm not saying they're a world title act, but I think they've been a lot of fun. People enjoy them. Why? Like, I don't understand. What's going to bring this up? Is it someone going to make Rusev better? We're looking at, I don't know. This is like the new Damian Mizdow situation, except maybe worse, because I think English and Rusev are probably more. Damian Mizdow was sort of a gimmick, you know, it was like a cult thing, but we all sort of knew it was very dumb, but we liked it anyway. And I think, like, people are, like, generally kind of like English and enjoy chanting along, and that's, like, once it's over, I mean, Rusev and Lana will be fine, although I think they will lose something not having English to sort of herald them out. And English, like I said, I don't see much for him to do except, you know, losing on WWE main event or whatever. So I just think it's a fun act that had a lot more potential. You could have given him a tag title run even, and it just, or even boost Rusev up a notch. So I guess, yeah. So, I mean, match quality wise, who knows, it'll probably be 5 minutes, but just, I think angle wise, it's a great disappointment coming out of it.
Now,
probably.
Now, how do you feel about it as an opener? Do you think it portends roles in terms of where they see Andrade Rusev on the paper?
Yeah, probably. Well, Rusev's put out some kind of cryptically humorous tweets in the past couple of days that, you know, I don't want to read too much into his Twitter, but I'm going to. He was sort of like, he said something about, like, you know, tweeting about, like, the cruiserweight match and, like, happy to join my brethren here on the pre-show. So that is kind of like, I can see for him it's definitely sort of appears to be some frustration there. It's hard to say. I mean, it is sort of like, yes, I can. It's probably not great that they're on the pre-show, but I'm like, what, Matt? What in a 13-match show? I'm not sure, like, which one. What match are you going to take off the main card and replace with them?
That's fair. And speaking of the main card, we're going to be a little fast and furious with the card preview. What do you think about the Daniel Bryan Miz buildup? And do you feel it's deserving of the animus they've had over these many years?
Yes, I do, for the most part. I really thought the Tuesday's video package in particular really, really brought together into a very, like, a coherent narrative when there maybe, you know, wasn't always there wasn't necessarily one. Like, a lot of stuff just kind of happened, and, you know, like, talking smack was just this a freak incident that was a great moment, and fortunately we're able to use it to build toward a match, and in some ways that's the best builds of all. And so I really did think, like, that package really put everything together. I don't know, most of the angles have been good. The fake baby was maybe a little hokey, but for the most part, I've enjoyed it. I mean, I think in some ways I wish we had gotten here sooner. Like, you knew as soon as Bryan came back at WrestleMania, I think we all knew this was coming. And instead it was just like, oh, he treaded his water with Cass for a while, a long while. And I can't really fault the Bludgeon Brothers, because that was just a month and that was a lot of fun, or the Team Hell No reunion. But overall, I mean, I think it is one of the more anticipated matches on the card. And so that speaks well that the WWE didn't take a good thing and accidentally kill it through overproduction, which is, you know, one of their hallmarks.
Yeah. Absolutely.
What about you? Are you excited for it?
I'm excited for it, but I'm more curious on how, because to me, is should Far and Away win this match? And the reason I do.
I'm sorry, what was that you cut out right at the. Who's going to win?
Oh, I think The Miz should.
Yeah, I guess I do too. I'm a little, like, as an actual, like, true Daniel Bryan fan, I'm like, oh God, I don't want him to lose. But I think, like, storyline wise, it would make more sense for him to lose.
Yeah, and I think, like, The Miz has kind of put himself into this rarefied air now where they respect him and they see him as a player. They might not see him at a Roman Reigns level, but he can be there, like, part of what they got Cena. And he even was doing this type of stuff even when Cena was there, as far as traveling around the world, doing all the ad stuff. So I think this is kind of his payoff, and also having some of the best promos, while he hasn't had some of his best matches, some of the best promos of his career.
Yes. And, I mean, Miz and Mrs. is a big deal, I guess, ratings-wise. So I'm not sure how well, you know, that plays into how they're going to book him. But it does make him a bigger – I think it does make him a bigger star having this hit show on USA.
Now, someone who doesn't have a hit show in USA but seems to be getting a lot of attention is Baron Corbin. He's going up against Finn Balor. What are your thoughts on that match, and who do you think pulls it out?
Okay. Oof. That's a toughie. Because I am not a Baron Corbin fan, for the most part. But I actually, I'm kind of into his new role. This is, I know this is like probably going in the face of popular opinion, but like, as like this sort of like annoying, smirking suck up, he's actually pretty good. Like, he has like a very punchable face. And, you know, like, that was like one of the, I think one of the highlights of this build of the SummerSlam build is him sort of like, when he and, you know, was like, Roman, I don't want you, you know, Roman, we can't risk the main event. And he was like real smirky. Like, he has, you know, his smirk is top notch. And Roman just hauls off and punches him. And that was like, that's actually like some pretty quality, like, face heel interaction on both guys' parts. And so, in that sense, like, I've actually like kind of, I like Baron Corbin's new role better than anything he's done previously, except for maybe like the minute matches he did on NXT like 4 years ago. That said, he is not good in the ring, I don't think. I find him terrible. Like, he should be just called Boring Corbin. And I can't believe I just thought of that. Probably millions of other people have first. But so, like, I mean, please let Finn win. I can't stress this enough. I feel like Finn is due, if you do WWE math, since Finn won at Extreme Rules and Baron won the rematch at Raw. Finn won again. Finn, poor guy. The poor guy is like, really feels like treading water here. I mean, people are kind of begging for the demon to come back, I think, at some point and do something interesting. Well, people on the outside, at least. And so, I don't know. I feel like Finn will win. I do think this is one of actually the least anticipated matches. This could have been a pre-show match that that you swapped out for the Rusev match, I suppose. I don't know. The other thing about Baron, which I forgot about, is wrestling in the vest is incredibly stupid. Rich, your thoughts on Mr. Corbin?
I wish it was better than he is, because presentation is what stinks right now.
Yeah.
I would love it for him to step up in the ring, but right now, like, if I see one more trapezius or like shoulder nerve hold, I'm going to think I'm watching like, yeah, Wrestling Challenge from 1986.
Yeah. Well, even Monday, you know, he's got this match with Tyler Breeze that's supposed to be clearly a showcase for Baron's like ability, and he's just doing nerve holds.
Yeah, he's a progress. Come back, we're gonna have a little chatteroo about some of the
good, the bad, and the ugly. The Sala Monster sounds off.
Mundo goes to leave, and Taya says, "Wait, aren't you going to put any pants on?" He just goes, "No time for pants," and he walks off. That also happens to be Randy Orton's philosophy in life. My philosophy, too. See, you don't know if I'm wearing pants right now or not, do you? You can't see. I could be wearing nothing right now for all you know. No time for pants.
Since 2007, The Sala Monster Sounds Off. Available at thesalamonster.com, Stitcher Radio, TuneIn Radio, iTunes, and more.
All right, welcome back to the Deep Dive with Justin and Rich. We're talking SummerSlam. We're talking NXT TakeOver. Most importantly, we're talking to you, so give us a call. Area code 515-605-9345. That's 515-605-9345. You can also hit us up on Twitter at @Rich_Fan. And Justin, where are you on Twitter?
I'm at JMcClelland1. It's JMCCLELLAND1, numeral 1.
Perfect. Like real one, only not a horrible person.
Right.
So we two down, 11 billion to go. Shinsuke, yeah. Nakamura, U.S. champion and master of the testicular claw, versus the charismatic enigma Jeff Hardy. Now, for me, I think this is a cut and paste Randy Orton shows up, does something nefarious, and Shinsuke wins. But given what's become the backlash of 15 years ago, Randy being a horrible person and people just somehow finding out now, he might not show up at all. What do you think about this match, and where do you think they go from here with Mr. Nakamura?
Well, like you said, back without real world stuff interfering, I think it was, it seems pretty clear they're setting up for a three-way, I guess, at the next pay-per-view with that end up with Orton, Hardy, and Orton, Hart, and Nakamura. So presumably, I thought Orton would interfere tonight or tomorrow night. Who knows now? But I guess in a vacuum, that still seems like the logical path to go down.
And do you think he's going to interfere in the case of helping Hardy win the title or to prevent him from having a fair shot at Nakamura?
I don't know. I guess it seems like he's – logic seems he's attacked Hardy so many times now. I guess they could do a swerve and he attacks Nakamura to sort of be like this ultimate lone wolf character who's not Baron Corbin. But – I don't know. I'll just say logically I see him attacking Hardy again. Just do the obvious. Cost Hardy the match one more time, and then we'll start building towards a triple threat.
Okay. I think I'm kind of in the same boat. I think while I agree and I think that Nakamura is going to hold on to it, I think there is going to be that little dance. And before we go any further, we have our first call, so let me pipe them in. Caller, thank you for tuning in. State your name, where you're calling from, and welcome to the deep dive.
Hey, it's Craig from Toledo.
Hey, Craig.
Hey, Craig.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
Good. Can't
Great.
Complain.
How
I'm
are
in
you?
A.
I was curious what you guys thought because the next pay-per-view after this is Hell in a Cell. Which of all the matchups? If any, I assume that one from this tomorrow is going to be the Hell in a Cell for a blow-off of a feud. Which match do you think is going in the cell?
I would say – go ahead, Justin.
I would guess Joe and AJ ends up in a cell. I think – that Joe wins the title tomorrow, and they've done some tremendous work. Frankly, my actual like most anticipated match is Joe and AJ. I've enjoyed a lot of what they've done heading into it. I think I would think Joe wins the title, and there's still all this lingering stuff about Joe insulting AJ's family, and I think that could lead to Hell in a Cell.
And for me, I think maybe the ladies, Carmella and someone else or several other else's in a Hell in a Cell situation.
I don't know. You think Carmella and Hell in a Cell would be okay?
I don't at all. But I think that they've been so hell-bent on proving she could be the champion that gets the heat that they would be willing to throw her in the cell against three or four talented women and let her be the speedball they throw around.
I could see, not even a true rematch, just like pile them on. Becky, Charlotte, Asuka. That could actually work. Like if Carmella sneaks out again and then like all the women she screwed over are trying for like ultimate revenge in Hell in a Cell.
Yeah, like in my head, I think in this finish for tomorrow night, she sneaks out and Asuka cuts her off and forces her to go back into the ring. And still through some chicanery, she still winds up champ.
Yeah. That could work.
What do you think, Craig?
I thought the Joe AJ thing also, because I think the Miz and Daniel Bryan feud is just getting started. And I think their blow-off's going to be WrestleMania. hopefully for a championship, hopefully for Miz holding that championship with a monster like Lars Sullivan as his heavy, and Daniel Bryan winning the Royal Rumble. You know, that's just my fantasy booking stuff. But I don't think that's going to be the Hell in a Cell. But I really want to see that AJ and Joe thing not just be a one-off.
Yeah.
What else is on your mind, dear Craig?
Tonight, which match are you guys looking most forward to? I know you guys got like 18 more matches to preview for tomorrow, but what about tonight? What's your favorite?
Let you go first, Justin, as I try to scramble to remember what's on the card.
I guess probably Mustache Mountain against Undisputed Era. Their first two matches were tremendous. Even just the Roderick Strong, Tyler Bate singles match for this week on NXT was really good. So I'm just looking for that to tear the house down one more time.
And I think the easy answer would be Ciampa Gargano. But for me, it's going to be EC3 and Velveteen Dream. Because Velveteen is overdue. I think I mentioned this on the East Coast cast. He's lost every takeover match he's had. So this is a good time for him to get that win and kind of set himself up for an eventual NXT title shot.
That's true. His matches on takeovers are always, like, outstanding, too.
And he's only 22.
Yeah. Plus, it's also the battle of the best theme songs in maybe wrestling, in my opinion.
This is true. Sleeper.
I'm looking forward to most the one different from you guys is the Kairi Sane versus Shayna Baszler match. I wasn't looking forward to it until like the last couple weeks of build up, but the way Kairi Sane's kind of turned into a different person. And kind of this, like, crazy, scary lady. I'm like, yes, this is what I want to see. That whole thing they did this past Wednesday was really cool.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call, guys.
Sure.
Oh, no problem. Enjoy it over tonight and enjoy SummerSlam tomorrow. All right, that's Greg from Toledo. Always a good caller. Always a great caller here. Before we get to the next caller, Justin, I do want to have matches. Monster in the Bank, Kevin Owens. Are you in the boat that I am where you think, well, in my opinion, I think Kevin Owens is going to win this match by some chicanery and then turn on the ad burners to cash it in later tonight or tomorrow night in the main event?
Yes, I do. I think they set it up pretty well that they've given Braun the out. He can lose the title and not get pinned very easily. Like, I think it would give Kevin Owens monster heat to do so. I don't know if they'll cash in tomorrow exactly. I could see. I don't know. I don't think they will. I don't think he'll cash in, but I do think he wins.
Okay. And Dolph Ziggler versus Seth Rollins. What do you think about those two?
Okay.
I think Seth has the sociopath from your home state in his corner, and I don't know what that means. I'm scared.
You mean Seth has the sociopath from my home?
Yeah.
Wait, what?
Yeah, that's what I said.
Okay.
Yeah,
that's what you said. Okay. This is my out there pick. I think Dean turns on Seth to cost him the match because, look, Roman's winning, right? And you got to give
right.
him somebody. And there's not a lot of heels out there for him to feud with. So my pick is to have Dean turn on Seth and then go after Roman because – It's a new feud. I think they had one match in the world title tournament a few years back. So it'd be fresh. Dean definitely has like a heel vibe now, like his shaved head and super buff look. So I think Ziggler retains by crook or hook, and we move from there. What do you think?
I'm in the same boat. I think Ziggler retains because I think the person that's going to take the belt off him is the man standing behind him most of the time. And I think, yeah, it's going to be the deconstruction of the two members of the Shield that really had the most issues with each other because that fateful chair shot went to Dean, and they haven't
exactly.
been the same since.
No.
So let's see. Before we go to our next call, I'm going to make sure we don't have a close shave and miss our support for the fine folks at Harry's Razor. Now, obviously, as you all can see from the jokes I'm getting about my delightful attire when I was in coaching photos, I am one for wearing cargo shorts, unfortunately, but I am not one for having a neck beard. And that's where Harry's comes in, because while I do keep a beard, Harry's is fantastic at keeping a close shave underneath so I don't look like a homeless person that snuck onto the field. So when you think about Harry's, you should think about the fact that they stand by the quality of their blades, and they know razors and switching razors aren't an easy decision. So they created a trial offer. Claim yours by going to harrys.com/pwtorch. Harry's delivers a close, comfortable shave at a fair price. Harry's founders were fed up with overpaying, and you know the story about them going to buy a highest quality factory and going to town, and obviously that quality continues to this day. So if you don't love your shave, Harry's will refund if you contact them within 30 days. So here's the details for the offer. You get a $13 trial value set, which comes with everything you need for a close, comfortable shave: a weighted ergonomic handle, 5-blade razor with lubricating strip and trimmer blade, a rich lathering shave gel, and a travel blade cut. Listeners of The Deep Dive can redeem their trial set at harrys.com/pwtorch. Make sure you go to harrys.com/pwtorch to redeem your offer and let them know I sent you to help support the show. Now, obviously, speaking of supporting the show, your listenership, your comments to Wade, your comments on Twitter, your emails are always appreciated, so keep up the good work. I'm going to work as hard as I can to make sure I do you all well. But as you go through, if you go on to iTunes, give us 5 stars, leave a comment. And if you do, I'll be sure to hop on there and try to read them on air. Try to keep them radio friendly because I don't want to get fired. I do enjoy my job. But if you do, if you take the time to write a 5-star review for us on Apple, I'll take the time to read them. And that's my promise to you. So when we come back, Justin and I are going to answer some more calls. We're going to get deeper into this card, and we're going to have some more fun here on The Deep Dive.
Wrestling fans, if you're looking for a unique and entertaining way to get your wrestling podcast fix, check out Ring Rust Radio. Ring Rust Radio uses its trademark brand of banter to cover all professional wrestling you love, including WWE, NXT, New Japan, Lucha Underground, ROH, Impact Wrestling, and more. We also hold sit-down interviews with some of the biggest names in the history of the business, such as Stone Cold Steve Austin, Shawn Michaels, Bret Hart, Chris Jericho, Kurt Angle, Trish Stratus, AJ Styles, and Roman Reigns. For those of you who want their wrestling with a perfect mix of serious analysis and comic relief, find Ring Rust Radio dropping every Wednesday night on Blog Talk Radio, iTunes, Stitcher, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back to The Deep Dive with Justin and Rich. We're chatting SummerSlam. We're checking TakeOver. We're chatting with you. Give us a call. Area code 515-605-9345. That's 515-605-9345. Justin, we have another call, and I believe it's 27-year Torch VIP Brian Alston. If not, it could be the legendary Kyland. I can't see from my phone here. So, caller, give us a little bit of that mystery dig. State your name, where you're calling from, and welcome to The Deep Dive.
It's Kyman, Rich, how are you? And
excellent.
Justin this week.
Hey, Kylan, how's it going?
Going well. I would have been here earlier if it wasn't for the geniuses of Blog Talk, although I will say this could be partially my fault for listening to our automated system, because what I did was I dialed in at about 4:37 and our automated system said your show will start in an hour and 22 minutes. So in my genius brain, I thought, oh, we must be starting at regular time this week, okay? But I know better than that, so.
It's all good. It happens to the best of us. But what do you have? What homework did you do? And what can we talk to you about this week?
Okay. So to kick off, I would just like to issue another plug for the few or many of you that possibly enjoy my work across all torch programs. Next week, I will be joining Rich for a full hour Broadway on the subject of wrestler appearances on TV shows. So I expect our caller audience to hit me with some of their best TV show appearances that they have liked throughout their lives. Now, as far as my question number one, since NXT TakeOver has been known to be the place where independent stars first stop before they go to main roster and sign, and when they sign with WWE, do you think Matt Riddle will continue said trend tonight? And after Matt Riddle, who do you guys think will be the next quote-unquote independent star to sign with WWE?
I'll field the easy one. I think Riddle is definitely there, and will be in the crowd tonight. I almost can't imagine that not happening. Rich, what do you think? Rich?
I think we lost Rich, but that's okay.
I guess so. Well, I'll answer the second one. I'm going to go a bit outside the box and think the next indie star he goes after, I don't know any contract situation, so that obviously is going to play a part. I'm going to say Jeff Cobb. Cobb's got a good look. He's a very muscular guy, which, you know, WWE definitely likes. So I definitely think he's got some, you know, actual wrestling pedigree. I think he would be a good choice for them to go after. Who do you think they'll go after?
I'm thinking, believe it or not, I'm thinking Austin Theory might be an interesting choice that I could see Triple H going after.
Even though he's unproven, I apologize, guys. Blog Talk kept me muted far longer than I intended to as I was coughing.
What a run-in.
I could kind of see him being cherry. Well, put it this way, I could see Triple H wanting to use him, and Vince being like, I don't see anything there, Paul. But you can have the kid if you really want him.
And I would say, I don't know who you mentioned as one of the first options for the indie star, but I heard Justin mentioning
Jeff Cobb.
So. Yeah, Mr. Athletic, and then you said Austin Theory. For me, and this is me being totally greedy, and I've been on this train for a few weeks now. I don't know if the rumors have been like solidified given what happened in Ring of Honor, not Ring of Honor, I'm sorry, Evolve, but I would want Stokely Hathaway in NXT because he is a great antagonist, he's a great manager, and he, despite my hatred for the new version of Catchpoint, was a delightful greet throughout that entire storyline.
I've agreed.
Yes, definitely. Yeah, he's definitely, I think, charisma to spare. And, you know, definitely star-making ability with Stokely Hathaway.
My second question is on the NXT Women's Division. If Kairi Sane does not win the NXT Women's title tonight, can you see a scenario where Shayna Baszler loses the NXT title to Women's title to perhaps Io Shirai or whoever the winner of the Mae Young Classic is come October 28th at the WWE Evolution All Women's Pay-Per-View?
Well, personally for me, I see Kairi Sane winning, mainly because I think that gives an impetus to allow Shayna to move up. Because I think by SummerSlam, they're going to want the four horsewomen matchup to be one of their marquee events.
That also makes a lot of sense, Rich. And my final question concerns the grand match of them all for tomorrow night at SummerSlam. In light of Universal Champion Brock Lesnar apparently clandestine closed door meeting that he is scheduled to have with Vince McMahon at 4 p.m. tomorrow, do you think that Vince McMahon will be, excuse my French, ballsy enough to have Brock Lesnar defeat Roman Reigns for the fifth time in his Universal Championship match against Roman tomorrow? Why or why not?
What do you think, Justin?
I think Roman has to win it this time. I think he should have won it at Mania, and if not, and it's really not just hurt Roman, it's hurt the momentum of the show of Raw a lot, that this the big prize is basically out of commission. And I think you have to get the belt back into play in a more serious way, and so it needs to be off Lesnar, unless Lesnar's going like full time, which I don't believe that would happen either. So I think Roman needs to win.
I agree, but I have a terrible feeling about this, so we'll see.
Well, and you also realize, too, that... I was just going to say, Kylan, real quick. You also realize that Brock, from his contract, was scheduled to appear on SummerSlam's Raw doing it. So like you said, if he did retain, something crazy could go down on Raw that resulted in him no longer being Universal Champion.
Yeah. I guess theoretically, I mean, there's a lot of moving pieces. He could theoretically retain, and then Braun would cash in on him if Braun doesn't lose the briefcase. But I do think they need to get the Universal title back into play. And I just think it's got to get somehow. So I think Brock can't be the champ for more than 48 hours at this point.
Yeah, I mean, I don't see him continuing to hold it for very long. I mean, I certainly don't think Brock's going to be a Bruno-level champion, but knowing how stubborn Vince is, I can see him trying to pull. Well, the people don't like Roman Reigns, so it might make them happy if we keep the title on Brock, even though they're mad at him because he's never here.
That's a good point, my friend.
Well, on that note, Rich and Justin, I'm going back to work on some research for next week's show, but Justin, if you can, please try to join us next week. I would like for us to have as many callers as possible and maybe even break a record for most callers we've had on this show.
I will try to do that. I've been sort of scanning my mental Rolodex of wrestlers on TV shows, and I got a couple good ones already, so I will try to do that.
I look forward to having you if you do make it, and I think that the same goes for Rich.
Oh, absolutely.
What is the record number of callers, Rich?
Well, and thank you, Colin, for your call. As always, have a wonderful weekend. My record number of calls, I want to say it's my second or third show, and it was 6. And over the course of an hour, that's a lot of calls. Like right now, we're at 2, and we got a third caller on the hold right now, and he's going to be trouble. I already know he's going to be trouble, much like EC3's old theme. So when we come back, we're going to the South, the Dirty South, and we're going to talk to a man representing the 478. So you guys get ready to prepare your bodies for this when we return from the deep dive.
Support what we do here at the PW Torch Livecast when you shop Amazon. Simply go to pwtorch.com/Amazon. We've simplified the page. There's a big Amazon logo. You click on it. It takes you right to Amazon's homepage. But because of that small detour, we get credit for your visit, and we get a commission on anything you buy on that shopping trip. That's pwtorch.com/Amazon. Thank you very much for your support.
Okay, welcome back to the home stretch of an earlier edition of The Deep Dive with Rich Fan. I'm joined by my friend Justin McClelland, who has been regaling us with his coverage and his interest in the SummerSlam matches. We've also been covering some of the matches we're interested in NXT TakeOver. And, of course, your calls. So give us a call, area code 515-605-9345. That's 515-605-9345. And I told Justin, and I prepared you all, so now it is time for the man to shine. Darrell, welcome back to the Deep Dive. What's going on,
man?
How
you doing today, Rich and Justin?
Hey, Darrell.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I'm doing quite well today. Getting ready for NXT. Watching the preview show. Just got finished reading my new favorite comic, Sideways. And got a couple of NXT questions for you guys today.
Shoot.
Yeah.
Okay, my first question. I'm a fan of how NXT do things and do everything, and I was really a fan of how they gave Kairi Sane a bit of an edge. She didn't turn heel, and she's not a heel person, but they made her as a babyface a little more edgy, rough, something that we say most babyfaces on the main roster should have. My question for you guys is how NXT make their babyfaces, instead of making them kind of slow or fall for silly stuff, they give them an edge in the way that they do it. How do you guys enjoy, or do you enjoy or like the way that NXT edge up their baby faces in different ways that fit their characters? And would you prefer their way or how the main roster does with their baby faces?
What do you think, Justin?
I would say almost every case is different. Like, I did enjoy Kairi Sane sort of edgier, a more aggressive style on Wednesday's show, you know, where she's clearly trying to psych out Shayna. I think there are some, for the most part, NXT does a pretty good job of that. I'm curious where Johnny Gargano goes tonight. I mean, he's the other classic example. He's gone definitely like to the edge and maybe a bit over it. And I think we'll have a clearer idea of what's going on there tonight, if he wins or loses and how he wins or loses. But yeah, I think for the most part, NXT does a good job of their characters are more, I guess, three-dimensional. And like you said, they're not necessarily goofy. Like, I think like Lashley is definitely a guy on the main roster who needs some kind of edge. He's just very much this grinny, smiley guy who occasionally gives you spine busters. What do you think, Rich?
I agree. And I think the one thing I was thinking about is Bayley when I saw Kairi Sane.
Yeah.
Because if you remember when she had the match that I thought killed her character, which was the match against Alexa Bliss, where she refused to use the kendo stick, she could have done what Kairi Sane did and given Alexa Bliss like three consecutive baby to bellies and then followed up with, doing one with the kendo stick. And that would have put her in such a justified position as opposed to just, I'm just going to let her beat the crap out of me. So you will never hear me say, Darrell, I view the main roster faces on the whole as superior in terms of their handling, with the exception of someone like a Seth Rollins. Like, Seth Rollins currently, outside of Roman Reigns, is treated like the baddest dog in the yard.
I got you. I was going to say the same thing about Bayley as an example. And just the way – I like how they different make their baby faces different, even all the way back to Big E. And he would stop the ref from counting three and make him count all the way to five, the five count. So they've been doing it for a long time, and they've been doing it this way. So that's why I asked that question. And Bayley was the example I was going to give. And for my second question – and you, Justin, brought this up, and it's about Johnny Gargano. It's a question. My question is sort of a question and a theory. My theory is that Johnny Gargano loses tonight, and we see the continuation to the slide of going into the abyss that he's going into, the dark abyss. And I'm thinking that he's the person they're going to put who did that to Aleister Black. Would you guys like to see a more Johnny going into the darker side instead of having to finish this match and maybe getting called up to the main roster of 205 and continue a rivalry between him and Aleister Black as the guy who took him out because he wanted Tommaso Ciampa all by himself and him trying to justify the reason why he took out Aleister Black? That's a theory of mine and also a question. How would y'all prefer that?
I do think he's going to lose somehow tonight. It just seems like it's too quick to take the title off Ciampa. And I would like to see. Yeah, I could see some heel work out of him. It's, I mean, he is a tremendous baby face and has been, but yeah, I'm curious. I don't know where they go with this. And so I guess I have faith that where they go will be pretty good. I did really enjoy that video, how they took Ciampa out on, or not Ciampa, Aleister Black out on Wednesday, and just sort of the Zapruder film style analysis of all the wrestlers walking by. That was sort of attention to detail like you don't often get out of wrestling anymore. So I just wanted to add that in. What do you think, Rich?
Yeah, I agree. I think for me, I'd rather see Johnny stay down there for a little bit, have a feud or something where he has that darker side, and you could have even his wife say, just like she did earlier, I don't know who I'm married to now. Like, what happened to you? I even like the quote they had about when you stare into the abyss stares back into you. And that's basically what's happened with him. And so
if only they would sign Abyss and then he could stare back, but
that would be a great Ultimate Warrior-esque mirror gag that I would pay to see.
And that's where I get Johnny, the deep dive into the Abyss from. What was that comment when they made the staring into the Abyss? That's why I would love to see him lose tonight and then verge on deeper into the Abyss. And then when he come out, whenever these next few weeks on NXT to give a promo about it, Aleister Black comes out and say he know who set him up, who took him out, and it was Johnny. And then you get the crowd.
Do we know
for
how long Black will be out? I guess my only concern is how long will Black be out? Because if it's going to be like 6 months, I don't know if they could pull that off.
The surgery is a recovery
it was
time.
Something that was 6-10 week. Yeah.
What?
But and then remember, I because recovery over 3 weeks. Like it was a 3 week recovery time for him, but that's like returning work. So I would say, even Triple H said in his conference call, he may be out for a while health-wise, but he'll probably be out a little longer for storyline as they play the whodunit over the next few weeks.
Okay.
Yeah, because I think he can make it back for War Games, and that could be an absolute great story. And I was just coming up with ways because I – don't want to see Johnny go up just right now. I don't want to see Ciampa go up just right now. And I think it would be better off if you send Ciampa and put up another baby face up against Ciampa to go against him and maybe take that heat off of him and win. But I would love to see Black versus Johnny and the continuation of the bird into the abyss of Johnny and who did it to Black. I would love to see those two storylines get merged together.
That would be good, yeah. What baby face would you like to see face Ciampa next?
Well, if going off tonight's show would be something, I have a case of three baby faces that could, and one is going to probably be a new guy who might show up tonight, who might not, I don't know. But hopefully either a Keith Lee, a EC3, or Velveteen Dream, whoever wins that match, or a Matt Riddle coming in, and what a great way to make an impact by coming right in and getting a feud with the champ to get your name out there even more to the WWE people.
Definitely good choices.
That is some good stuff, my man D. Now, because I'm currently in a cabin supposed to be running a summer camp, I'm going to have to cut you short because I got to run out at some point and help students with a high ropes course. But keep up the good work, and I look forward to hearing from you next week if you got any TV shows that fit tie into wrestling at any point.
Oh, okay, no problem. Y'all have a great night, man.
All right, you too, my man.
All right.
And that was Darrell. Always a good listen. Always a provocateur on Twitter. So if you're following him, get ready for the ratchet. And like I said, I didn't want to do it, but I'm looking at the clock and I don't want to make sure I don't get fired from a day job. So Justin, let's fire through these last few matches and then we can hit the streets, as they say.
All right.
No one says that. I'm sorry. I might have got it again. Alexa Bliss and Ronda Rousey.
Ooh, this is it's a tough one. I got to talk about this fast. Do you want to give Ronda the title heading into Evolution, or do you want Evolution to be the chase of her title, or the culmination of her chase? I think she wins because I think it'd be really hard to have her fail in her chase like twice now, so close together, and I don't see it happening. I think Ronda wins. You?
Yeah, I'm in the same boat. I think her going in as champion, she could be the centerpiece of the show, and they just give her a really tough defense, like maybe a legend that comes back, like a Trish Stratus.
That could be – ooh, that would be good, yeah. She's going to be the centerpiece either way, but yeah.
What about the Bludgeon Brothers versus the New Day? What do you think about that match? Personally, I think it's time for the New Day to win it because the Bludgeon Brothers, as much as I love the two gentlemen in it, I'm not sure if I love them together still.
I'm sort of bored. Like, I don't feel like they've done much with the Bludgeons. Like, they had a lot of great promise, and then they just sort of vanished. Like, the Team Hell No stuff was fun, but I don't know. I would really like to see, I guess New Day, I think, would get the belts back just to freshen things up again. Because they've held the title since WrestleMania, and it feels like, what's really happened with them?
Yeah, and I think for them, I know one of the
interesting. Well, I would think that would actually be an interesting Hell in a Cell rematch based on how they're presented, but I don't think they would do that.
I mean, Usos, New Day, Hell in a Cell 2, I'm here for it.
Yeah.
But like you said, I don't know if they're going to do it.
Yeah.
And I'm also looking forward to the perceived time for Big E to be his own man to shine, you know, because that's something that's been looming for a while, especially after that gauntlet with Daniel Bryan, where people were reminded that Big E is, in fact, an excellent singles wrestler.
Yeah.
And we got two more left, the B Team versus the Revival. I am partial to the Revival taking that one. Just because I feel like the B Team, I like them. But I'll defer to you.
Oh, I like the Revival. I think we're going to say opposite things. I like the Revival a lot, but I don't know. I feel like they think they've got a good thing going with the B Team. I would argue that I don't know if that's necessarily true, but I think they're going to, they like the joke, so they're sticking with it for a while.
All right. And our last match, Drew Gulak, Cedric Alexander, Cruiserweight Championship. Who you got?
As an avid not 205 live watcher, I'm going to say Gulak. Alexander's held the belt since WrestleMania, so feels like probably a time to take it off him, but I haven't watched the show, so I can't really say.
Okay. Well,
I know you were a big Gulak fan going back to Evolve, though, right? So.
Oh, yeah. He was the leader of the original squad that I fell in love with, the OG, if you will, edition of Catch Point. So I am all about him. I think he's a good dude, and I look forward to the reign of Gulak, where the no-fly zone extends to all of 205 Live.
Sounds good.
Excellent. So we did it, my friend. We got through all of them,
and
we did it in under an hour. I don't get fired. I get to have fun still with the torch. So it's a win-win-win, and I got to do it with you, which made it a win-win-win-win-win. Before we get out of here, let the folks know where they can follow you on social media, wherever you prefer them to, and the floor is yours, my friend.
Well, I'm just on Twitter, Jay McClellan, JMCCLELLAND1. That's about it. If you like tweets about CW Arrowverse shows, it's your place to be.
Excellent. As always, Justin, thanks for helping out. Thanks for coming on. And as always, you're, of course, welcome back. And you can help me in trying to get Gillen to co-host one of these deep dives one of these days.
Oh, it's happening.
All right, y'all. That was Justin. As always, a great friend. Even better co-host. No, got that backwards. Better co-host. Well, good co-host, even better friend. There we go. I did it. Today's been a day. I've had quite the day. So I'm going to challenge you to dive into something new. Give yourself an opportunity to go beyond the plus ultra that you have set in your life. And before I get out of here, I'm going to give you some words from the boss man so you can find out that, yes, in fact, if you do join the PW Torch VIP Club, you get some great features and some fun things you get with it. So rather than me blather on, I'm going to let him handle that for you. As always, it's a pleasure. Next week, it's me and Kylan. We may have a little bit of a change of time again, but we'll keep you updated. Be good.
PW Torch Livecast listeners, this show can be ad-free and commercial-free with a VIP membership. VIP members not only enjoy all 7 episodes of the PW Torch Livecast with no commercials and the ads and plugs edited out, but they also get ad-free editions of the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling post shows and the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling podcast. Also, part of a VIP membership and exclusive shows such as the Every Single Day Wade Keller Hotline, the 3 times a week Bruce Mitchell audio show, including a new weekly mailbag edition with Bruce, The Fix with Todd Martin that I also host, post-pay-per-view roundtables that I host, and other shows on specific topics, including the new Talking Honor podcast with Lola and Harley discussing the latest in ROH, including a review of the latest TV show. And now we are proud to announce that Alan Cunahan, known as Alan 4L, has brought his talents to PW Torch after many years at The Observer. And there's a lot of excitement about his new weekly show called Alan 4L's Pro Wrest Paradise, with the best coverage of New Japan, all of Japan, the UK indie scene, including the US indie scene. So be sure to become a PW Torch VIP member for as little as $8.25 a month on average, and have multiple new VIP exclusive and ad-free podcasts every day on customizable feeds on your iPhone and Android device. For more information and our sign-up form, go to pwtorch.com/govip. And you'll find out what else comes with VIP membership, including a weekly newsletter, over 1,500 back issues of the Pro Wrestling Torch weekly newsletter that started it all, ad-free access to our mobile and desktop sites, and more. Full lineup, full details, and the sign-up form at pwtorch.com/govip.